I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Back to the Annie Fry Show. The DOG has opened a grand jury investigation into Letitia James. It is tied to the Donald Trump civil case. How us civilians are supposed to keep up with the enormous amount of very, very impactful investigations coming out of this Department of Justice. The only way I know how to do it is to talk to people who are way smarter than I am. And that means Greg Jarrett is back on the show with us. Fox News legal analyst, of course, a former defense attorney and law professor and an author. Greg Jarrett, welcome back to the show. So great to have you here this afternoon.
Oh, good to be with you, Annie. Thanks for having me back.
So, I mean, you have such a breadth of knowledge of, because you've written books on the Russia hoax. So you've been watching this all unfold from a legal expertise standpoint for years, like us, but with so much extra knowledge. What's your assessment of the Trump Justice Department right now? Do you feel like they're on the right track with all of the different things they're trying to juggle at the same time?
Yeah, I do think so. They have a strike force that is looking at, the various potential conspiracies against Trump, specifically targeting him for political reasons. We learned a couple of days ago that a U.S. attorney has been appointed to convene a grand jury. And so the question becomes, as I wrote in a column a couple of days ago, who's at risk of being prosecuted for malfeasance and targeting? And I'd say that Comey and Clapper and Brennan are immediate targets for false statements during their testimony, some of which I identified in a book 6 years ago called Witch Hunt. But I think prosecutors are also developing a broader criminal conspiracy that had targeted Trump. I would look at such crimes as conspiracy to defraud the government, deprivation of rights under color of law, obstruction of justice, arising from an ongoing cover-up of what it is they did. And that would be important because it would extend the statute of limitations to the last overt acts of concealment, which is fairly recent. I mean, people continue to cover up. And so, I think dozens of people could be charged as co-conspirators, people in the Obama administration, the Hillary Clinton campaign. Certainly the intelligence agencies, bad actors at the FBI, including Comey. There were a lot of people who peddled the Russia collusion hoax who knew it was a lie, but they abused the levers of power to frame Trump. And then they went about altering intelligence and suppressing evidence. Conspiracy could actually extend to illegal acts against Trump when he was out of office. All of what I think were wrongful prosecutions, the Mar-a-Lago raid, there might also be a grand jury convened in Florida. I wouldn't bring it in Washington, D.C. I mean, that for obvious reasons would be insane. So we'll wait and see where this goes.
Yeah. And so many people who have been watching this for so long can lean in right now and see what's going to develop. I'm looking here. The Russia hoax by Greg Jarrett was published in July of 2018. Witch Hunt, the follow up the following year in October of 2019. You've been chronicling what exactly has been going on. Like, I'll even point out in 2018, Greg Jarrett was out there saying the Russia hoax, the illicit scheme to clear Hillary Clinton and frame Donald Trump. And then, of course, Witch Hunt, the story of the greatest mass delusion in American political history. How do you feel as though your reporting and your storytelling in those books holds up in August of 2025?
Well, I think my original books are vindicated. And, you know, if you were to read them today, you'd go, wow, he knew this before the newly declassified documents revealed it. For example, I argued that they were lying, Comey, Clapper, and Brennan, when they said, oh, no, the dossier we didn't rely on, we didn't put it in the intelligence assessment. I said they did. Sure enough, these new documents show they did put it in the intelligence assessment. And the version they released to Congress and the public at that time, back in January of 2017, was deliberately excised. They took the section about the dossier out, which is a deliberate misrepresentation, the alteration of documents. It's deceit. It's lying. And I argued that they were deceitful in their testimony before Congress about that. And sure enough, it looks like they were, and that these new documents prove it.
We're speaking with Greg Jarrett. You can follow him on X at Greg Jarrett. Also, his website, thegregjarrett.com. Wonderful reporting for people to read, especially right now. I encourage you to look into this website and keep up with what you're putting out there. We've got the investigation into Letitia James and my personal favorite, Adam Schiff. I just can't wait to see where that goes. I don't know why that is the one that is of the most interest to me. Just kind of want to see him get his comeuppance. Are these vengeful investigations into particularly those two characters that we've learned about this week?
Well, you know, Democrats and Letitia James would say so. You know, a psychiatrist calls it projection, accusing others of doing what you did yourself. That civil case that Letitia James brought against Trump, alleging that he fraudulently obtained loans, was both legally absurd and quite obviously politically driven. James, you'll recall, campaigned on the promise to, quote, get Trump. And then she took office and searched through files and conjured up this inflated case against him. It's currently on appeal, and based on the oral arguments, which I listened to, it looks like those appellate judges also think that it was an illegitimate case. And in fact, they were highly critical, scathing comments toward Letitia James for contorting the law and targeting Trump. You know, she abused her office to carry out a political vendetta. It's a classic example of, here we are again, deprivation of rights under color of law. That's a crime. The law forbids public officials from misusing their office to willfully deprive a person such as Trump of his constitutional rights. And as I, you know, said to you earlier, you know, I argued that the DOJ should consider using that very powerful statute to bring criminal cases against all of the lawfare prosecutors who targeted Trump for purely political reasons. So that, I think, is what the Albany grand jury is now considering, potential criminal charges against Letitia James. And I think they're on solid footing if they indict her. But, you know, she also has another problem in Virginia. There's a separate grand jury investigating her there for committing, believe it or not, mortgage fraud by falsifying bank documents in order to gain more favorable loans, precisely what she accused Donald Trump of doing. You know, she listed her home in Virginia as a primary residence. Well, wait a minute. She's an elected official in New York. And she may also have misrepresented the number of units in the dwelling. So I think that's the subject of a second separate grand jury.
We're speaking with Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst and a friend of the show here on The Annie Frye Show. We're always grateful to have you on and to discuss these huge issues with you. You mentioned the appeal process for President Trump in New York. It goes the conviction that he had in that fraud case. There's also the civil case. Was it E. Jean Carroll, the sexual assault case, or whatever the actual charges were that were levied against him. Are both of those going through the appeal process at this time?
Yes, they are. The civil judgment for the absurd, I think it was $454 million, will almost certainly get knocked down, if not tossed out entirely. The oral arguments were about a year ago, and it's actually completely crazy that they haven't issued a decision. But, you know, in New York in particular, it takes a very long time for these people to do their jobs properly. I don't understand why, but that seems to be endemic in, you know, the judiciary of New York. So we're waiting for that one, the E. Jean Carroll. Who knows what will happen there? I think that could get tossed as well. So, you know, sometimes the wheels of justice grind incredibly slowly, and you just kind of have to be patient.
There's no deadline. Is that right? For either of these? It's not like it will be determined within 5 years or 2 years or whatever. There's no deadline.
No, there's no deadline. Probably should be. You know, make them actually work as hard as I do. but... But, you know, they're judges, so they take their sweet time.
We're speaking with Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst. I wanted to ask you about Adam Schiff and this mortgage fraud case with him. Adam Schiff's response, he comes out, he very casually says, listen, every senator has two homes. I wonder what your thoughts are. The comparison of the case against Adam Schiff and mortgage fraud, compare the details that they have against him, the evidence they have against Adam Schiff versus what the state of New York had against Donald Trump in his fraud case.
Yeah, well, Adam Schiff would be wise to hire a good criminal defense attorney because I think he's going to need one. Mm. You know, he's looking at potential bank and mortgage fraud, wire fraud, mail fraud, false statements to a financial institution, defrauding the government. I mean, you add it all up. Just the bank fraud alone could be up to 30 years behind bars. He spent the better part of two decades misrepresenting his primary residence as both Maryland and California, obtaining favorable loans, lower interest rates. He took a tax exemption. The law entitles you to only one principal domicile. And that's it. And so, yeah, I saw his comments. I looked at them again yesterday. It was quite the diversion where he parsed words. Well, everybody has two homes. Yeah, but not everybody in Congress claims both of them as their primary residence. You can only claim one. And members of Congress do that. They claim one, and the other is secondary. And they quite normally, for obvious reasons, claim their primary residence as, you know, the state and jurisdiction in which they're elected, right? Because that's election law.
Sure.
But, you know, Schiff is a lawyer, and so he can't really plead ignorance here. Not only that, he's a lawmaker that made the law that he appears to have violated. So, as I say, you know, he needs a good criminal defense attorney because I think he's in serious legal jeopardy.
Greg Jarrett, just to wrap up that specific, the Schiff situation, is it possible that his people did that for him and then he gets a document and he signs it because he trusts his people and he maybe didn't know exactly what was going on?
Well, I'm reminded of what Letitia James said in court about the Trump case she brought, that it's no excuse to blame other people for preparing the documents that you sign. And of all of the silly things that she has said, that was the one that she got right, that you can't blame somebody else in failure to read the document. You know, these documents are not only signed, but they're notarized. So he was there. It's his signature. That's verified. And, you know, ignorance is not a defense in cases of fraud.
In the Midwest, we say, oh. Greg Jarrett, we're thankful for your time here. We look forward to having you back. We know these stories are going to develop rapidly, and your expertise is so valuable here. We thank you.
My pleasure. Always good talking to you, Annie. Thanks.
Thanks. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye. Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst. Seriously, go to thegregjarrett.com. Greg with two G's at the end, two R's in Jarrett, two T's in Jarrett. Thegregjarrett.com. He's reporting on this stuff. And I mean, seriously, we got some light reading over the weekend. Get Witch Hunt. Get the Russia hoax. This man's been writing the story as it happened. And I just can't imagine what it's like to have these books out there who say everything, where now there's evidence, more evidence that's coming out, more things are being declassified. And you're like, oh, that proves page number 162 of the Russia hoax. He's been ahead of the game. And yes, often probably labeled as some sort of conspiracy theorist by the people on the left who had this lapdog media that would perpetuate all of this bologna sausage lie and hoax that was manufactured by none other than top dog Barack Obama. What a time to be alive. What a time to be able to sit here and talk to you every day for 3 hours. There's so much to discuss. Ryan Wiggins, get back in here. Let's have a discussion. I've got another story that I want to bring to your attention. Greg Gutfeld, last night on Jimmy Fallon, what'd you think about it? Did you watch it? Did you take the time to tune in live? That's where people like to see those ratings come from. Did you watch Jimmy Fallon maybe for the first time in a long time? Let's discuss it when we come back. Don't go away.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's hard to parody. It's hard to cover a song like Jolene and do justice to it. But Miley Cyrus, man, of all the weird Miley Cyrus things that exist, she can sing. Do you like her voice?
I don't love her voice, but I do like that song. I like that cover. I like even more when she covered Dolly Parton's Wrecking Ball. I mean, that was a great cover.
That non-bell ring was perfect. Chef's kiss. So Greg Gutfeld was on Fallon last night. A, did you watch it?
Yeah.
Did you see President Trump talking about late night TV with the press corps?
I've got an entertainment-based question for you. A few weeks ago, Stephen Colbert announced that he was leaving his show. Howard Stern announced that he and Sirius XM Radio are parting ways. Do you think the hate Trump business model that's been in the entertainment business is going out of business because it's not popular with the American people?
Well, it hasn't worked, and it hasn't worked really for a long time, and I would say pretty much from the beginning. Colbert has no talent. I mean, I could take anybody here. I could go outside on the beautiful streets and pick a couple of people that do just as well or better. They get higher ratings than he did. He's got no talent. Fallon has no talent. Kimmel has no talent. They're next. They're going to be going. I hear they're going to be going. I don't know, but I would imagine because they get, you know, Colbert has better ratings than Kimmel or Fallon. You know that. Howard Stern, it's a name I haven't heard. I used to do a show, used to have fun, but I haven't heard that name in a long time. What happened? He got terminated?
Yeah, they're going to separate ways because I think what they're offering salary-wise is real low than what he's getting.
You know when he went down?
That's Tim
Cook.
You
know when he went down? No, before. When he endorsed Hillary Clinton, he lost his audience. People said, give me a break. He went down when he endorsed Hillary Clinton.
So, a little extra treat for the people on the live stream there. There's a X-profile called Diaper Diplomacy. And if you're not follow, if you're not on X, you need to get on X to follow only Diaper Diplomacy. Because that whole clip, real exchange between President Trump in the Oval Office with the press while Apple was making its big announcement. So it's Tim Cook, right? Is that his name?
Yeah.
The CEO of Apple is in the room, but the diaper diplomacy part of it is they use AI to use the cutest little baby characters for all of the people who are speaking. So we got to visualize that. So go find that. That's a diaper diplomacy video. Go follow that account and you'll just giggle with glee watching all of these crazy things unfold.
Yeah, if you didn't see it, they keep cutting to the people he mentions who just keep kind of side-eyeing.
And
like,
they look,
oh,
I mean, you can tell, like, oh, that's a little baby Kimmel.
Yeah, yeah, they do look like him.
So Greg Gutfeld goes on Jimmy Fallon last night. We're going to talk about that in a second. But also the Howard Stern thing. Howard Stern, are you too young to be, like, in Howard Stern's...
Oh, no.
Like, the... Did you listen to him?
I didn't. I never. I had a lot of friends that were really into Stern.
Good for you. That's exciting.
I had a lot of friends, period. Am I cool?
Had?
Question mark. YouTube live chat poll. Let us know.
is that how you talk like in life?
Yeah.
It's like,
I slipped into like regular
the,
Ryan there.
Looks
for
like
a
the
second.
Votes are 3-1.
Yeah. You like my new hat? Let me know. YouTube live chat poll.
That's like and subscribe, comment.
Smash that like button.
It's insufferable.
Yeah, no, Stern was huge when I was in high school and early college.
Were you allowed to listen to him?
I was allowed to listen to him. I just didn't like him. I just didn't. He is a great interviewer. But aside from that, I didn't really like it. I just didn't.
Brad?
I'd never really listened to Howard Stern. I wouldn't even know where I would have listened to him at on local radio. I don't know if he was on any of our stations around here.
I think he was on The Point for a while, but then he moved to satellite right about when we would have been of the age.
I was not a satellite radio subscriber at all.
No.
You think he was on The Point?
I think he was. He was on a local radio station. I thought it was The Point, but I'm not sure.
Somebody will tell us in the chat. Him not getting offered Howard Stern money, which nobody gets offered Howard Stern money. Howard Stern money is its own unicorn. Like, that doesn't exist for other people in a Sirius XM type of contract. Howard Stern put Sirius XM on the map.
Yes.
People were not, like, people are like, why would I subscribe to satellite radio? I get this radio here for free. And look at the quality programming. Hi. YouTube live chat poll.
YouTube live chat poll. Do you love quality programming? Yes or no?
Really weird thing to go to the YouTube channel to vote no on. The industry, broadcasting as a whole, is rapidly changing so much because there is so much more to choose from. Selection is all over the place. It's gotten to the point where radio, in my opinion, is kind of coming back into an alternative popularity, specifically because people have gotten into podcasts, which is, generally speaking, spoken word. So when people normally would auditorily enjoy music, now you can get whatever music you want, whenever you want. You can DJ yourself. I think some people are kind of getting tired of being their own DJ. They like to discover music again. They understand radio can do that for you. But if they've also gotten into podcasts, now, essentially, what we're doing right now is a live podcast. But it's happening right now. And what
unless
was
you listen to the podcast.
But unless, yes, then it was then.
Yes.
But when will then be now?
That's right. What I'm saying right now is something that I said earlier to you, podcast listener.
But in the future.
But at the moment, it's live. Which really, technically, everything that's ever said in a moment is always live.
Except for now, that's in the past.
That's true.
You can't, with so many more opportunities for people to choose and to select, you can't get these gigantic Howard Stern-like contracts anymore. But apparently Howard Stern's not getting Howard Stern money anymore, and so he's now up for grabs. He'll go somewhere, and his product will continue to be consumable, and his product will probably still continue to be consumed. But my question is the Howard Stern deficiency as much about, oh, there's just a lot of fish in the sea now. Howard Stern's not the only one out there. You got the Joe Rogans of the world, and I don't know whoever the left is putting up these days. Not like Joe Rogan was put up by the right. He was actually walked away from by the left. But Howard Stern, in my mind, is a political figure. He's not Howard Stern. Like, if you knew Howard Stern before Donald Trump was on the scene as a political figure, you would know Donald Trump as a guest on Howard Stern, and they'd get along, and they'd have conversations, and you know, that it was entertainment. I wonder if his fall from grace, is it a fall from grace? Is his lack of ability to pull in Howard Stern money have anything to do with politics? I have to think it does a little. I hear so many people say that the blue-collar audience that he built his career on, he turned his back on.
I would say it's three things. One is that he went political, hard political, and alienated a lot of the men who would be his audience. Probably a lot of white men who are not wanting to listen to that. Second is the technology. It's just shifted. There's so many other choices. But third is that just like any product, and he's weathered this better than most, any product has a core demographic. And if that demographic grows out of it, because he was like very juvenile radio for a long time. He didn't always do that.
Yeah.
But that's what he got famous doing.
That just is so 90s to me.
As the audience got older, they didn't want that anymore. So he adapted, but he couldn't quite adapt to his peak with that audience. Yeah. So I think it's all three of those things.
Could be. It's usually a little more complicated than black and white. Here's Jimmy Fallon last night with Greg Gutfeld in the guest chair.
Your mom was actually a big part of the show.
That is right.
You actually named her a senior correspondent.
Yeah, she's. I called her senior correspondent because she's 80.
Yeah.
And you know what her job was? Her job was to watch Fox News. That she was. She would watch Fox News and tell me what was going on during the day. Yeah. And it was like, she was always upset because all the women wore short skirts. That was her thing. She says, I don't need to see their you-know-what. And I'm going, Mom, other people do.
But does she make for good TV, right?
She's great. In fact, here's the weird thing. You know, when you're growing up, you don't want your friends to meet your parents. You're always embarrassed about it. I brought my friends over, and they loved her. And then there were times when I would come home, and my friends would already be there.
Yes.
They'd be in the backyard with my mom.
I had that, too.
Yeah.
My friends loved my parents.
Yes. And so they dumped me for my mom. So I realized at that point that she was good. Like, she was no BS, and she was a supporter of everything I did, which is like your mom. And it's like, it's a big deal, you know? And she saw Red Eye take off. She saw me on the 5. She didn't see me for the rest of the stuff, but that's probably well and good.
No, you know. She's probably proud. Very, very proud of you. Congratulations on everything you've done. That's amazing.
So
that's good to have a supportive mom.
That's Greg Gutfeld, part of what he did last night. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Give him a grade.
Well, he was the host. I mean, he dominated the whole interview. His Fallon wasn't even there.
Did you like that he did that?
Not really. Although everything he was saying was funny. I mean, it was interesting stuff.
Give him a grade.
I'll give him a B because it was interesting, but I would have liked to had Fallon kind of introduce it a little more.
I was nervous the whole time.
Yeah, I get it.
I felt like when my kid goes to perform, and I'm like, I know they know how to do this, but this is the first time they're going to go, you know, maybe play a new sport or play at a new place, new team or whatever. It's like, I hope they do well. Like, it mattered about me. And I felt like he dialed it up to 11.
He did.
He seemed like he was sped up.
Yes. Yeah, he was at 1.5 speed on the podcast.
We could talk about it a little bit more. I want to get Brad's take, and I don't know if Ethan ended up watching it, but it was something. It wasn't what I expected. I'm going to say hoped for. That doesn't mean that it was a disappointment, but I'd love to get your feedback as well. Annie Fry YouTube live chat conversation if you want to throw your comments in there. And also our YouTube live chat poll for today is commenting on J.B. Pritzker's weight. Fair game. Yes or no? Ethan, come in here. It's time for sports and local news on a Friday afternoon with Ethan Hannaford. Don't go away.
Imagine this, a summer evening relaxing under a...
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Beautiful.
I hope Ethan's ready for this one because...
Ethan, take it away!
Ethan, this is going to be much more hard-hitting news open. You ready?
Oh, God.
No, he's not ready. He doesn't even have his microphone.
I hope you have good, hard-hitting news. Here we go.
Hold up. Check it out.
Grown-up talk with Murfin Blurgleman.
Is it news, Ben? Now go.
Is this grown-up talk?
Grown-up talk.
No, you have to talk the whole time.
With Murph and Blurgleman?
So does that... What is
I really
that?
Hate up talk because it makes you sound like you're really stupid.
Grown-up talk, what does that mean?
Like, it don't.
Like, does that mean...
Don't justify it with conversation.
Yeah, it's just the news. It's grown-up talk.
Gotcha.
Grown up talk with Murph and Blurgelman.
Like the first time I had to have the grown up talk, you know, was with my mom and dad in like fifth grade. Yeah. So I didn't know what kind of grown up talk we were talking about.
Well, maybe when you're done, you can have it with Ryan so he can be brought up
to speed.
It's
your segment. You can do that if you want to right here.
I like being on air, so I won't do that. A couple of different things going on this weekend in St. Louis. So if you're looking for something to do, then I have a couple of things for you. First off, tonight is Blues at the Arch. Yep, it is pretty self-explanatory. Blues Festival that's going to be right at the foot of the Arch. 10th year that they are doing this now. There's going to be food, shopping, and of course plenty of blues music, including the lineup says Jeremiah Johnson, UV Hayes, and Anita Jackson, as well as some other people as well. You guys fans of Chris Rock?
Yes.
Sure.
He makes me laugh, yeah.
Well, his little brother Tony Rock is going to be performing.
For the record, when you said Chris Rock and asked if I was a fan of him, I had to go through my Rolodex and I went past Kid Rock before I came up with actual Chris Rock.
I don't think that's that crazy.
No, I like him.
I like Tony Rock's song Cowboy.
Is that a real thing?
It's a Kid Rock song.
Okay, gotcha. I had no idea. He's performing at Helium Comedy Club at the Galleria.
Cool.
And prices are varying
between
$30 and $45.
That guy's probably way funnier than Chris Rock. And he's the little brother.
You just never know. You never know.
Living in
the
shadow.
There's only one way to find out. That's to go see Tony Rock. This weekend.
That it is. On Saturday is the firecracker race on the Mississippi River near Grafton. Have any of you ever heard of this before?
Mm-mm.
No.
It is a paddleboard race on the Mississippi River.
Paddleboard?
How does it incorporate firecrackers?
Is that like where you stand up and you paddle standing?
It says paddlers, sea kayaks, open kayaks, canoes. A 15-mile race from Grafton to Alton.
Ooh. On the Mississippi.
On the Mississippi.
Wait, from where to where?
Grafton to Alton.
Okay. It'd be cooler if you made the race be upstream, but go on.
Alton to Grafton.
Actually, it starts, the first sentence, right, that it entices you with says...
They end up in Memphis.
I wasn't strong.
At the end, they're going to be ripped.
Yeah. Next year, it's going to be a great race.
Yeah.
First sentence says, ever want to race down the Mississippi in a boat you paddle yourself?
No.
I can't say that I want to.
But if you are somebody...
Always wanted to do that. We had this discussion on this show probably within the last 2 years that I thought it would be awesome to get in a boat in the Mississippi River and just see where you ended up. Because there's no law.
Hospital.
There's nothing regulating that you can't do that. You can just get in the Mississippi River in a little boat if
you want
to.
What kind of boat?
Any boat. Any boat you want.
A raft.
You could make the boat. You could buy the boat. You could have a Bezos yacht. Doesn't matter.
Gamble at the boat.
Get in that thing and just see where it takes you. And
it's
then you end
so
up in
gross.
New Orleans.
It's just gross looking.
In the Gulf of America.
Speaking of gross New Orleans.
It possible to think that, like, if you had to, could you float your way across the Mississippi River? Like, I obviously understand that if you start on point A on the west side of the Mississippi River, that you're not going to go perpendicular, but you're going to go quite a ways down with the current.
Like, could you physically go from one side to the other?
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
You just have to get from the west side to the east side, the east side to the west side.
It's going to take you a little while, probably.
Sure. But isn't it possible? I don't
know. Well, possible, yes. I would probably die because I'm not very good at that.
Well, in my mind,
at swimming?
In my mind, it's anything. Like people make it like it wouldn't be possible.
No.
Because the Mississippi is such a strong, strong.
Because they always tell you, don't
mighty.
Do anything stupid. Don't get in the Mississippi River.
Everybody says in the bi-state area.
Whenever I'm standing there,
it's the first thing.
Down on those cobblestone brick roads, people are always like, now don't you jump in there, young man. And I'm like, why?
But could you? I mean, if you float on the top and you just kind of. Just
are you in a boat?
No.
So you're saying just going straight across?
I mean, I know you're not going to
go. I get it.
Like you start here and then maybe you end up like 10 miles down, but you're on the other side. Is that possible that somebody could get across and survive that?
Brad?
I think people do that. I think people have done that. I think it's entirely possible. I mean, I wouldn't make a habit out of trying to do it, but if you're in a desperate situation, I think you could do it for
sure. It says that Ender says the undertow, or Kevin maybe said it, the undertow would get you. Let's see like, you can't...
Is that where it, like, sucks you down under, or what?
Yeah, I guess. The undertow... current is so strong.
Everything that I hear about the undertow on the Mississippi has to do with the boats and stuff that are on it. Like, you like get sucked barges? Under a barge or something like
this
that.
This fall.
That's so terrifying.
Annie Fry Show, sponsored
Shut
event.
Shut up.
Leah Thomas versus Riley Gaines starts at the Arch.
Across the Mississippi.
Who can get across first?
Well, Riley Gaines is pregnant.
Then I'm putting my money on Leah Thomas.
Only if Leah Thomas is also pregnant.
Ew.
Okay, if we can get him pregnant, then I think we got an event.
Ethan?
This started with talking about paddling from Grafton to Alton and ended up with Leah Thomas becoming
Never
pregnant.
Never know, do you?
Also, speaking of comedy, Shane Gillis is also performing at Enterprise Center tonight. Boy, that would be a fun one to
Who
go
is that?
To. Shane Gillis?
Shane Gillis. I didn't hear who you said.
He's only like, you know, the most popular comedian in the world.
Yeah,
he?
He's... No, I know. I just wasn't listening.
Appreciate that.
Happens
so
to the
I
best
see why...
Sorry.
I see the level in
don't
which my
like
segment
guys,
is at
don't
now.
Don't act yeah. like you guys don't do that to me 50% of the show.
Ryan, I completely understand everything you do now.
Oh,
it's for
it.
Attention.
What?
Oh, that was mean. And then Sunday, as we heard about earlier, is the Jewish Festival at the Lewis and Clark Boathouse parking lot in St. Charles. Super cool area right on the river. Mm. So if you're in the area, go check that out.
Yep.
Okay. I have to get to this before we wrap. Okay. I don't know how much time I have, but I have to get to this.
You have that much time.
Okay. There is a special guest that is going to be sitting in the dugout next to Ollie Marmol over the next... two games.
Is this an animal?
Nope.
You're prefacing this like it's going to be like a really cute puppy.
You don't know who it is?
No.
Haley Joel Osment.
Somebody watch Happy Gilmore too.
Did you finish it?
Yeah, I did.
I
Yadier
see dead
Molina.
Playoff hopes. They're
Yadier
everywhere.
Molina is going to be back in his oh. Cardinal
what?
Uniform, sitting in with Ollie Marmol over the next as an just.
Is he still technically part of the organization?
I don't think so. So basically. What happened?
You have gotten my full interest back.
So what happened is he is in town for an event. Ollie heard this and he said, hey, come and sit with us in
Smart
the
move,
in,
Ollie.
In the dugout. You'll be a guest coach these next couple of days. So he's going to be full uniform. You'll be around for batting practice. And the next couple
gonna
of days.
We're going to win these games 63 to nothing.
Yadi will be in the dugout
Can
with
Can we play
Ollie.
Him? Can he be added to the roster?
I don't think. Can I don't know if you'd want him to.
Is this like a... no, I do. I don't care what happens.
He's immediately the best catcher.
This is not banana ball, Annie.
It is the last game that I saw in the stadium.
If you're watching the Cardinals this weekend.
This weekend is Cards Cubs, right?
Mm-hmm. Cards Cubs, yeah. Yep.
Man, that's
Watch
fun.
For the Osment jersey. That's Yadier Molina.
Stop it! You're ridiculous.
I can't wait to ask you why.
Haley Joel Osment, for the people who are like, I think I've heard that name, that's the I See Dead People kid who's like 50 years old now.
I hate that he still has a career because he's a great, great reference.
He's a chief villain in Happy Gilmore 2.
He is, yeah.
Spoiler
he's
alert.
He's also in the new series of Wednesday. Wednesday Addams, nothing on Netflix. Seriously? These guys Friday. Live under a
no, we know
rock?
It.
No, we just have busy lives.
Okay. Well, that was a fun segment.
Do you recommend it?
What was it called? Adult time? Adult talk? I forgot what it was called.
Grown up talk.
No,
that's the after show. You can listen to that. I don't know. Follow Ethan on X at @echan7.
What are you advertising for?
I don't know. Followers. We'll be right back.
Taxpayer dollars and account for forthcoming liabilities. Under Rule 5, Section 3 of House Rules, which authorizes fines for members absent without leave, 30% of each quorum-breaking member's monthly operating budget will be reserved and made unavailable for expenditure. Absent members must also appear in person to approve or enact any of the following: requests for travel reimbursement, personal action requests, including those increasing or decreasing staff salaries, approval for newsletters and House of Reproduction Services. Failure to appear in person will result in the cancellation of your newsletters and the encumbered funds. We have all hands on deck. We are continuing to explore new avenues to compel a quorum, and will keep pressing forward until the job is done. Finally, today, Dr. Greg Bonin will file House Bill 3, the House's priority legislation for flood recovery and infrastructure funding. Developed after 25 hours of testimony from Texans whose lives were upended by the July 4th floods. To those in California, Illinois, New York, or Massachusetts, wherever you may be, hear this. The bill cannot be referred to committee without a quorum. Every hour you remain away is time stolen from those Texans in need. Each one of you knows that eventually you will come back, and we will pass the priorities of the special session on the call. But with each passing day, the political cost of your absence is rising, and it will be paid in full. For the members' presence, I expect everyone to be here on Monday at the absolute latest. DPS is in the field to execute these warrants. Should they lead to the civil arrest of our absent colleagues over the weekend, you are on call. You will need to be available to return to Austin with a minimum of 6 hours of notice.
You've been listening to Dustin Burrows, the Texas House Speaker, laying it out there. They do not have a quorum. Those Democrats are still MIA. And did you, first of all, a lot of state legislatures are part-time legislatures. Illinois is a full-time gig. Texas is a part-time legislature. They're not in session for the entire year. That's not how it works for them. They're not paid handsomely for what they do there. And what Speaker Burrows just did there, very smart move. They're trying to get relief passed for the Texas flood victims. Those Democrats who are not there providing a quorum for that business to be attended to are keeping those Texas flood victims from getting the assistance that they need. I don't know how they can politically overcome that. All the redistricting stuff, everybody knows the natural end to this is they're going to have to come back at some time. They're not going to be paid. The Texas Democrats who do not come to work are not going to be paid. They're being fined $500 a day for their absence. That's way more than they're making.
Yeah.
This isn't sustainable. These Texas Republicans are serious about this. But if the Texas Democrats want to make everything about power in the midst of this redistricting battle, show up and fight. You're probably going to lose. But you're losing based on the maps that are currently drawn right now. If you don't have the votes right now in the Texas legislature to win this fight, you don't get to win. That's just the way it is. And if you're willing to take your ball and go away from home to the state of Illinois under the wing of J.B. Pritzker or New York, some of these other places under the wing of Governor Hochul, and abdicate your responsibility to these Texas flood victims, that to me is political suicide.
You know what's weird is that I can't remember other states, and maybe it's just that it didn't make as big a news, other states doing this in the way that Texas does. Maybe it's because the rules are different and Texas uses them to their advantage, Texas Democrats. But Texas Democrats have done this multiple times in recent memory. They did it last time in 2021, and it lasted 6 weeks where they all stayed out of state. I can't remember what the issue was. I just remember that it was 6 weeks. So how long can they go here? I don't know, but this is big drama because I've also seen that, yes, they're going to take away their funding. They're going to do $500 a day, but that big Democrat donors are going to cover that for them.
Well, and I think that Attorney General for the state of Texas, Ken Paxton, is saying that that's taking bribes.
Ooh,
which is
another wrinkle.
Which is actually a felony.
Interesting.
So how will it end? What we do know is that it will end. They can't. There's no clock that they can wait out on this issue. If these families who have mourned the loss of so much in the wake of those Texas floods are not given the assistance that they need to recover, at least financially, emotionally, they'll never be able to, because these Texas Democrats are hanging out in the state of Illinois. That's a huge problem. Ask us anything in the next hour. Your comments on the YouTube chat. We'll be right back.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.